Amen. All right. Well, this morning, like I said, we're starting a brand new series. It's called Wrong Views About God. Wrong Views About God. And I'm not sure how many I'm going to preach in this series. Some of them might bleed together a little bit. But the reason I'm preaching this series is because atheists, God haters, skeptics, and scoffers will charge God foolishly with all manner of accusations. Right. They'll accuse Christians. They'll accuse God, and one thing they'll say, hey, Jesus wouldn't do that, but then they'll say, I don't believe in Jesus. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like people that are not saved or people that are heathens, they hate, or people that hate God, not everybody hates God that's not saved, I'm not saying that, but people that hate God will also try to use our own God against us in a false manner. And so the purpose of me preaching this series is I want people to have a little bit of ammunition to feed back. And we need to know what God, you know, what his truth brings forth. We need to know, you know, where he's at in judgment, where he's at in all different manner of things. And, you know, the things that people try to accuse us of doing, I want you to be able to have an answer to give back to them. So, and people are especially like to charge God when it comes to his judgments and his people's judgments. And so we as his children, again, are accused of judging where we shouldn't be, or taking God's place and judging when it's not our job. Thou, you're not supposed to judge. You know, people say that to you all the time, don't they? And that silences most Christians. And the reason why it silences most Christians is because they don't even know the Bible themselves. They don't even, a lot of them don't even have the right Bible version. But not knowing the Bible and then letting some atheist say, hey, you know, you're not supposed to judge, and then that shuts them up because they don't know what the Bible says about judgment. And there's a lot to be said about judgment. There's 402 times where the Bible says the word judgment or judge in some way, shape, or form. And so God is a God of judgment. And whether people like that or not, it's just the truth. And unbelievers in general have a wrong view about God and his characteristics. Some try and succeed in browbeating and bullying Christians, and I'm sick and tired of it. I get tired of it. So, and, you know, these Christians, they'll say, don't judge, you're not supposed to judge that situation. And then they fall over themselves to apologize to the person. Oh, I didn't mean to judge you. And hey, look, God said we're supposed to judge. And there is a God that judges in the earth. There's a God that judges in heaven. And he also allows his children to judge in situations. I can't cast somebody into hell. I don't even want to cast somebody into hell. But, you know, God does. And he allows us to judge in certain situations. And I think it's time for us to be able to know what to say back. And obviously, a lot of people in this church would already know what to say, okay? But a lot of people don't know. And maybe if you're new, a new Christian, or maybe you haven't read your Bible cover to cover, maybe you don't understand the principles of God's judgment, but that's what I'm going to preach about today. Because it's important for us to be able to challenge the heathen when they make false accusations against God and when they make false accusations against Christians. And I think it's time that we proclaim the Word of God and what He teaches in the Bible. Because look, people have a wrong view of God. They have a wrong view of who He is and what He's all about. And most times people just make a God in their own image and they worship that God that they believe is their God. You know, people in Romans, it says that people, when they knew God, they were not thankful and they didn't want to believe in God. They want to retain him in their knowledge. And so God gave them up to a reprobate mind, the Bible says. And the reason why is because people want to form a God that they want to believe in. My God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Okay, well, you don't believe the God of the Bible then. Because the Bible talks about hell multiple times, and it talks about the judgment of God casting people into hell forever. And look, it's not just a poof, you're gone, like the Jehovah's Witness teaches, and what the Seventh-day Adventist teaches. They teach that, you know, hell is just like an incineration, and then you're gone, and you cease to exist. That's not what the Bible teaches. And so a lot of these Mormons and all these, even the Mormons, They really honestly don't believe in hell. If you get down to it, they don't believe in hell. They think that people have another chance once they're already in whatever I don't know what kind of purgatory they believe in or whatever, but they believe that you could go to hell, but you can have a way out if you believe in Jesus, you believe in the Mormon Jesus or whatever. So, like, who wouldn't choose the right choice in that situation? That's not how it works. See, and people don't want hell to be real, and so they make up all these false doctrines. And you know what? These false prophets, and that's what they are, these false prophets want to make up things to send people to hell. Yeah, right. They send people to your doors called Jehovah's Witnesses. They send people to your door called Mormons. And I'll tell you what, they're peddling a false gospel. They're peddling death and hell for you. That's what they want. They want to pull you into their net and take and send you to hell. So we should know what we're talking about when somebody challenges us with something on our faith. And, you know, here's some of the subjects I'll be covering in the weeks to follow. Is everyone God's child? It's another false doctrine. I'm not going to go into it because I'm going to preach a sermon about it. But the Mormons will teach, hey, everybody's God's child. And you know what? I think that people believe that a lot today just because of the Mormons. Well, we're all God's children, aren't we? No, we're not. That's not what the Bible teaches. See, people have a false view of God. And here's another thing. Does God just love everybody no matter what? There's another one. Does God just love everybody no matter what? Well, does God love everybody? I mean, people will say, well, God loves everybody. We're not to judge him because God loves everybody. We're all equal in God's eyes. Not true. Amen. There's a point where God did love everybody, but I'll tell you what, there's a point you can cross where God will not love you anymore. He said he loved Israel no more. There's people that get cast into hell. When they cast them into hell, does he still love them?
No.
That's ridiculous. Okay, I'm not going to preach that sermon, but I'll wait for that. But the title of the sermon today is simply just judgment. And wrong views about God, judgment. Okay, let's look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. The Bible says right here, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are, what? What's that say right there? Judgment. Like it or lump it, that's what God is. He's a God of judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. So God is full of truth and without iniquity. Iniquity means he's without iniquity. That means he's sinless. Okay? Just and right is he. So there's nothing that's wrong about God's judgment. Every judgment you see in this book right here, if you've ever read it in your life, is good. Because God is the one that judged it. And so when you see, I mean, there were some pretty gnarly things being said in Deuteronomy chapter 32, wasn't there? Let's look at verse number 40. For if I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever, if I whet my glittering sword. What does that mean? It means if I sharpen my glittering sword, it's a shining sword, right? It's the sword of the Lord. If I whet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. So God is a God of judgment. And he's talking about shooting people with arrows and that their blood is going to, you know, that he's going to spill their blood. And people will go, God isn't like that anymore. Jesus isn't like that. Hey, Jesus is God. Amen. Everything that's written in this book, Jesus agrees with. Everything in the Old Testament, it's not like there's two different gods, the Old Testament God, the New Testament God. They're all the same God. God doesn't change. So God is forever the same. He's immutable. Okay, that means he doesn't change. All right, so the God of the Old Testament is the same exact God of the New Testament, and Jesus Christ is the God of the Bible also. So we believe at this church in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And Jesus is part of the Trinity, okay? So not three different gods, the same God, right? So no matter what judgment you see in the Bible, God judges it, it's right, every single time. You can set your clock to it. You can set your navigation to it. Whatever you want to say. Everything that God does in this book is right. Amen. Number one, God will judge his people. So I'm just going to look at some different types of ways that God judges. And those ways are right. God will judge his people. But, you know, people out there will say, only God can judge me. You're right. He will, though. Only God will judge me. If you're being a whore, you know, people that are like in sin, that's when what they like to say. Only God can judge me. They'll actually get a tattoo that says, only God will judge me. And guess what? It's a sin to get a tattoo.
Right.
It says, the Bible says, I will, you know, you're not supposed to make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. What part of that do you not understand? And hey, look, if you've had a tattoo in your life, I'm not against you. I got tattoos too. I regret those tattoos. But is it right for me just because I have a tattoo to get up and say, oh, tattoos are just fine because I have one? Only God can judge me. Yeah, he's going to judge me. You know what? I don't know what judgment he gave to me for that mark, but there is a judgment. I don't know what that is. I think a lot of times people get these immune disorders from getting tattoos. But look, God's not going to not punish sin. He punishes sin every single time. And so we got to understand that. And so let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. God will judge his people. Okay? So God's people are people that are saved. That's what I'm talking about. So God will still judge his people. Because judgment just means you're making a decision, right? We judge things every day. Do you judge the distance between you and the car in front of you? Or are you a tailgater and you just don't care? Well, yeah, sometimes we got to do what we got to do. But we judge things every day. You judge how much milk you put in the cereal bowl. And guess what? Sometimes you make a wrong judgment and you have more milk than you're supposed to. I mean, isn't that just simple, you know, things? We judge things every day, but yet people will say, don't judge me. You're not supposed to judge. It's ridiculous. And God will judge his people. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. See, sometimes God's going to chasten his children. Sometimes God's going to chasten, so it says my son. See, when I was talking about, you know, not everybody's a son or daughter of God, not everybody's a child of God. Well, the people that are, the people that are the people that are saved. And he's going to chasten you when you do wrong. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Every person that's saved is going to get spanked by God. Not with a literal paddle. It might be some sort of paddle like losing your job. It might be, you know, getting, you know, having to get divorced or getting some kind of venereal disease or something like that. God will punish his children when they're not in the will of God, when they're doing things wrong and they know that they're wrong. Look, God's not just waiting with a sledgehammer just to tee off on you every time you do something wrong. You know, obviously, God gives us grace. He's long-suffering. He's slow to anger, slow to wrath. But, you know, once you get to that point where it's like, I don't care, I'm going to keep fornicating, I don't care, I'm going to keep drinking, drinking's not a sin, I'm going to, you know, tat up, I'm going to get the biggest sleeve you've ever seen, and this and this and that. Look, hey, God, and you know it's wrong, and you know from the Bible that God says not to do that, and you keep doing that, he's going to punish you. He's going to judge you. But guess what? You're not going to lose your salvation, because once you're saved, you're always saved. And that's what we believe at this church. Because what does everlasting mean? Well, it means it lasts forever. That's pretty simple, isn't it? So if you have salvation here, and then you commit some sin, and you lose it, was it everlasting? No, because that doesn't make sense. Logic proves eternal security. Okay, so let's see, where am I at here? Verse number 6, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. So the Bible's making it very clear. Hey, if you're a bastard, if you're not part of his family, then you don't have to worry about the chastisement of God on your life to that degree that he's going to do it with his children. See, when a Christian is late for work, they're going to get caught every time, pretty much. But the person that strolls in looking like their hair's in a, you know, a bird's nest or something, and they stroll in 3 or 4 or 5 minutes late every day, most of the time those people don't get caught like the Christian does. Yeah. You're late one time, boom, you're, hey, where were you at? You know, that's just the way it is. God's going to make sure his children gets punished for the things they do. And you'll see these, you'll see people that are unbelievers get away with murder, literally. They'll get away with all kinds of things, backstabbing, gossip, everything they do, and they, yet they still get promoted, they still get all these things. But, you know, that's because God allows the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And God knows that there's a punishment for them later on that's going to be everlasting fire. And so God corrects us while we're here on this earth. God will judge his people. So, but you know, judgment isn't always a negative thing when it comes to people. See, people think that judgment is always negative. It's not always negative. It's positive in some areas. So look at Revelation chapter 20, verse number 4. Revelation 20, verse number 4. Judgment isn't always negative. It's positive. A lot of times it's positive. So when God says he'll judge his people, sometimes he's judging them for a positive thing. Look at verse number 4. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And what? Judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So the Bible teaches that because these people didn't, you know, they were faithful unto death, they got their heads cut off, basically, not basically, that's what happened, and that they didn't receive the mark of the beast, they had the option, they said, no, not going to do it, and they did all these great works. Well, what's the reward? They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And you know what? People that endure to the end in that type of a situation, people that endure persecution like that, they get a special blessing in heaven. Amen. They get a crown of life. And look at verse 5. It says, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So what's the reward? What's the judgment that God gives in Revelation chapter 20? Well, he gives a good judgment, doesn't he? That's a good judgment. I like being a priest of God and of Christ and reigning with him for 1,000 years. You know what? I'm going to get to do that someday. God has many blessings in store, and he judges what we do. So, hey, the person that gets saved and never does anything with their life for Christ, guess what? They're going to have less rewards in heaven than the person that gets saved and does lots of works for God. Does that make sense? He's going to judge, hey, this guy got 1,000 people saved. This guy got 0 people saved. And his, you know, he basically liked football more than he liked God. You know, doesn't mean they're not saved. Just means that they just didn't do as much. So God will judge our works. He's going to judge the things that we do. But he's never going to judge us to hell if we're saved. Well, that's something God will never do. You can never see that in the Bible. Anybody that brings up Hebrews chapter 6 or any of these other verses that would seem like it's a Christian losing their salvation, it's not. Because the Bible's clear, it's everlasting. The Bible's clear, it's eternal life. Okay? And so whatever you're bringing, some obscure doctrine, well, look, it says, hey, come to me and I'll explain it to you at the end of the service, okay? So, number 2, God judges with natural disasters. God judges with natural disasters. And people will say, well, I can't believe you'd say that. You know, these people, you know, that fire didn't happen because of that. How do you know? You know, and maybe some of it isn't the wrath of God. But I'll tell you what, in the Bible, you see natural disasters judging people all the time. I mean, it's throughout, from cover to cover of the whole Bible, you see natural disasters in God's judgment. Okay, that's what he uses. That's his thing, right? And he uses soldiers and armies and things like that. Babylon was conquered by the Medes and Persians. You know, Babylon conquered Israel and Jerusalem, and then God judged them for doing that to them by judging them with another nation. That's how God works. That's what he does. Look at Deuteronomy 32 again in verse number 22. Deuteronomy 32 in verse number 22, where we first began. This part might upset some people, okay? It's going to warn you right now. It's going to that might upset you. Okay? But look, just listen to what the Word of God says. Don't get mad at me for thundering forth what God says. All right? So, and look, if I don't preach the whole counsel of God, then what good am I up here? I preach a lot of different subjects. I preach, you know, through the Bible, a lot of different things. I do a Bible study in Psalms. We're in the book of Mark right now. I just preach what's there. And a lot of the times, things are negative because, you know, reprove, rebuke, exhort. So two times negative, one time positive, all right? And there always is going to be a positive part of my message, all right? But this is the negative, the really negative part, okay? Look at verse 22. It says, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, and devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. And I will send the teeth of beasts upon them, with the poison of serpents of the dust, and the sword with the..." Let's see, I think I skipped a page. Nope, I'm there. All right, sorry. "And the poisons of serpents of the dust, the sword without, and terror within, shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs." That's a harsh judgment. But how did he say he was going to do it? With the teeth of beasts? What is that? Animals. Okay? God will send lions. God will send animals against you. God will send the hornets against you. God will send snakes. And you say, "Well, I've never seen that happen before." Really? Well, what about pit bulls? You ever seen pit bulls tear people up? Hey, God still punishes with animals too. He still punishes with the sword, with the military against other nations. Hey, if they're godless, God will come in and have another godless country come and wipe them out. He's done it for thousands of years. And so, don't get mad at me. The Bible says that God will do those things. All right? So, let's take some examples. What about the flood? Was that a natural disaster? It was a flood. It's waters. Waters destroyed the whole face of the planet with every single living animal, with every single living creature on the face of the earth. Every single person died in the flood. And God wrecked the real estate of the earth with a giant flood that lasted for months. It destroyed the whole earth. Water can destroy. But he also judges with fire. So, but in the flood, people will accuse God of being wicked by killing every person on the face of the planet. The Bible says that there was only wickedness in the earth. The thoughts and intents of their heart were only evil continually, the Bible says. So, was God just and right to destroy the whole world with the flood, including children and infants and animals and the cute little puppies and the cute little kitties? Yeah. God was just. Look, God created this world, and he can do whatever he wants. But I'll tell you, remember the verse I read at the beginning? All of his judgments are right. Everything he does is good. So you can try to reason it out with your human mind all you want, but God said that it was right for him to destroy the earth. But you know what? He saved a remnant of people. He saved a remnant of the animals so that they could repopulate the world. And he saved a remnant of people so that they could replenish the earth. So God just wiped out the wickedness and, you know, he restarted. He pushed the reset button, right, with the flood. So, and again, God does punish with animals. He punishes with plagues. You know, in the Bible it talks about he'll send these plagues upon you, things that can't be cured. What do you think AIDS is? People are like, "Oh, that was started with the heterosexual." No, it wasn't. They just lie. It was called GRID before it was called AIDS. You know what GRID stands for? What's it stand for, Brother Dylan? Gay-related immune disorder. Yeah. So it started out as something that started killing the homosexual population. Man. You know, but homos go both ways. You're like, "I can't, that person's married, I don't understand." Yeah, they're a homo, they're pretending. They go both ways. And so, yeah, it did kill heterosexuals. And heterosexuals got it and pass it off to their heterosexual partners. But AIDS is a punishment of God upon this earth.
Amen.
So is syphilis and any other disease you want to talk about. God uses diseases to destroy people. Why? Because they're worthy of their destruction. God sends famine. You can see throughout the whole Bible. I mean, just think of the famine during the time of Joseph. It was a really bad famine. 7 years of plenty, but they'd forgotten all about the 7 years of plenty when the 7 years of famine came. And those 7 years of famine were, I mean, basically the whole nation of Egypt ended up selling everything that they had and selling themselves into servitude under Joseph and Pharaoh. Fire. In that verse, it says he's gonna bring unquenchable fire that nobody's able to put out. We have, let me read this verse for you just as we go here. Jeremiah 21, verse 12 says, O house of David, thus saith the Lord, execute judgment in the morning and deliver him that is spoiled out of the land, the hand of the oppressor. Let my fury go out like fire and burn, that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. So tell me this, does God judge people with fire? Yes or no? It says, because of the evil of your doings. I'm going to burn that none can quench it. I'm going to start a fire that you're not going to be able to put out. You know when the fire gets put out, it's when God wants it to go out.
Right.
And, you know, living in the Northwest a couple years ago, the whole countryside was on fire. We were going up to a preaching, a soul winning meeting, and on the other side of the Columbia River, we were on the Washington side, on the Oregon side, it was completely on fire. And that was scary. I'm glad that we have a big, huge river between us. But that's a scary thing. When you see the fire burning, we had a lot of wildfires and things like that. And look, the wildfires are getting worse and worse in California, in Oregon, in Washington, and all over places in the whole world. So you see the fires. You've heard about the fires that are going on in Australia right now, where 500 million, half a billion animals have died already to their accounting. 13 humans. But people, you know, notice that people are always just in the corner of the animals first over everything. You know why? Because people worship animals to their destruction. I love animals. I'm a proponent of animals. I have 3 dogs. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't trade their lives for one of my kids. Those dogs would go right to the, you know, the glue factory as soon as, you know, if there was a choice. It's not even going to be a choice for me. Because God loves humans more than he loves animals. It's a fact. He wiped out every single animal on the face of the planet. And look, in Australia right now, there's hundreds of thousands of animals being killed and only a few humans. But you know what? It's a judgment of God. I believe it's a judgment of God. You know why? Because Australia has rejected the gospel as a whole. And look, anything that happens to them is going to be because of their own doings. He says, because of the evil of your doings.
Right.
You know, Australia was started out as like a prison colony from England. And, you know, I'm sure the gospel's gone around Australia quite a few times. But just recently, they kicked out a missionary that was preaching the word of God there because he was daring to fight against the Muslims there. He was making a documentary against Muslims there. Pastor Logan Robertson was making this documentary. And they trapped him at this location, and then they arrested him, and they held him. You know, by the time he got done there, being mistreated by the Australian government, he had to walk. A lot of people don't know this, but he had to walk from that place to his house with no shoes on his feet, in the dark. At 2 o'clock in the morning, they released him and made him walk with no shoes. So you know what happens when people mistreat God's man? Like that, God is going to bring judgment. Pastor Anderson tried to go and do a soul winning thing. It's not like he was going to preach against the homosexuals. He wasn't going to do it. He's just going to get people saved. You know what they said? He's not allowed to come into our country. And so when people reject the word of God as a whole, as a nation, when people reject God's men as a whole, as a nation, you know what? Don't be surprised when a wildfire bursts out in your country and all your animals get killed. And people are dying too, but God's merciful. You know, he could just torch the whole country if he wanted to, but God wants people to be saved. And there are still some good pastors in that country. But you know what? As a whole, they pretty much... You think it's unreceptive here, it's unreceptive more there. And so God is burning those little critters, and he set the... You know, you want to know who set the fire? God set the fire. That's what I believe. You can disagree with me all you want, but... You know, they worship the animals over there. It's a big deal. People go and travel to Australia. It's really expensive, you know, and there's all these different kinds of cool animals. And I like animals. I think the animals in Australia are great. I like them. But then, you know, you have the crocodile hunter. Who remembers the crocodile hunter? Steve Irwin, right? I liked watching that show. But you know what? He was a God. He didn't believe in God. And he showed that through and through many times. He believed in evolution. And he basically worshipped animals and didn't worship the Creator. And what happened to Steve Irwin? He got killed by the very thing that he loved. A stingray. Got him right through the heart. You think that was an accident? I don't think that was an accident at all. But unfortunately, his child, Bindi, is following in his footsteps. And I really wanted to get these people triggered because there was this Facebook article where it said the crocodile hunter's family is saving Australia's animals one animal at a time. And all these people are like, oh yeah, Steve Irwin's smiling down from heaven. He's so happy about everything that they're doing. Look, Steve Irwin's roasting in hell.
Right.
He is. And you might say, how do you know that, Pastor Thompson? Because he wasn't saved.
Right.
That's why. Anybody that is not saved goes straight to hell. And so he's not smiling down from heaven about what his family's doing. He's probably saying, please send Pastor Anderson to save Bindi. Please send a pastor or a preacher to save my family's souls. What did the guy, the rich man say? He said, send somebody to my family. He didn't say, please let me out of here. He knew he wasn't getting out. What did he say? Send somebody to save my family. And what did Abraham say to him? He said, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe if someone, you know, rose from the dead. Right? So look, you might get upset about the fact that I said that Steve Irwin's in hell. Look, I was just watching his videos the other day. He was really entertaining to watch. Have you ever watched the episode where he goes against the Komodo dragons? That was a freaky episode, man. I couldn't even imagine, you know... You know, and he would play with snakes that are the most venomous snakes in the world. You're like, oh, you almost got me. You know, but one of them finally did get him. And you know what? If you worship animals, if you worship the creature more than the Creator, don't be surprised if judgment comes to your town. Don't be surprised if judgment comes to your family. Don't be surprised if judgment comes to you. Because God's not going to put up with it. He doesn't have to. He's not the God that you think he is. He's a God of judgment. And all those precious little animals are worth nothing compared to the value of a human soul. I'm sick of people worshiping animals. It's gotten out of control. And you know, I'm going to preach against it all the time whenever I can. They worship animals. They walk around and scoop up their poop. They buy them this super expensive dog food and they can't even afford to eat their own food. They can't even afford to buy McDonald's and they're out buying their dogs this like $150 sack of food because they have to have the best. My dog's been living on Old Roy for his whole life. And he's doing just fine. All my dogs live to old ages. We had Methuselah dog, Tonto, and he lived to be 19 years old. And you know what he ate every day? Old Roy! He was just fine. He lived to a grand old age. But man, people are out of control with this animal worship. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to turn those animals against people. It says that by the biting, you know, that these beasts are going to bite and devour. In the book of Revelation, it says the beasts of the earth. It's going to be part of the judgment. The very thing that people worship, God's going to turn against them. Have anybody heard of that documentary called Don't with cats. Have you ever heard of that one? It doesn't say the word. It's just like a blah, 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 you know. It's supposed to be a cuss word, I think. But anyway, in that documentary, this homosexual, and he was a homosexual. There's no doubt about that, okay? He vacuum seals these kittens. He puts them in a bag, and he sucks all the oxygen out and suffocates them. And then he puts it on the internet. It's a real story. And so he did that, and then the next video, he's posing these animals around and doing... He's weird, you know? And so then he goes on, and he's like just toying with these people who are trying to track him down. And so he takes a person, and he drugs them, stabs them to death with an ice pick, and then kills a puppy after that. Puts it on the video, puts it on the internet. But one thing that really bothered me about that, I mean, the whole thing was pretty bothersome. You know, first of all, the guy's a sodomite, so he's capable of anything. Second of all, it's weird to hurt animals, okay? That's the first step to becoming a serial killer. If you're, you know, obviously, if you got to paddle your dog for peeing in the house, I mean, people freak out over that too. It's like, come on. But anyway, so the guy, then he kills a puppy. And so the two people that are recollecting, one of them is like the law enforcement, the head of the law enforcement, and the other one is just like one of the characters in the documentary. But both times in the film that people cried, it wasn't when the human being got killed. It was when the animals got killed. People, for some weird reason, put animals' lives over the top of humans' lives. And that's where it gets strange. You know, they were talking about this person getting killed, and the next thing you know, they're thinking about the puppy. What about the human being that got killed? You didn't seem to be bothered by him getting stabbed to death with an ice pick. But plot twist, the guy was a sodomite, so I don't really care that he got killed, honestly. You know, you get what you deserve when you go and try to do some weird stuff with people. But if it was just like a normal, innocent person, I would be, you know, I obviously, when the guy was a sodomite, so I didn't really care. But and then at that point, they're equal to me, you know. I don't really care either one. But, you know, it's weird to hurt animals. But it's also weird to only cry when an animal dies and not when a human dies. And some people are so attached to animals that they, you know, cry before they would cry over a human being. That's where this world's gotten to. The worship of animals. Oh, the poor animals in Australia. What about the 13 people that got killed? You don't see them mentioning the 13 people that got killed. All they care about is the animals that got burnt in the fire. You know what? God can raise more animals up. The population can be recontrolled. But you know what the real main problem is? Is these people forgot God, and the nations that forget God shall be sent to hell. That's what they need to understand. So, number three, God judges nations and people that hate him. God judges nations and people that hate him. Look back at Deuteronomy 32, verse 39. It says, "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven, I say, I live forever." I know I've already read these verses. "If I wet my glittering sword, and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies, and I'll reward them that hate me." See, God will reward people that hate them. But guess what? It's not with everlasting life. He's going to reward them according to what they deserve. He's going to judge based on what they've done. It says, "I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain, and the captives from the beginning of revenges upon mine enemy. Rejoice, O you nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto the land and to his people." See, God's merciful to his people, but it says that he's going to render vengeance to his adversaries. The people that hate God are going to have a recompense. And they might live to be 120 years old, still blaspheme in the name of the Lord and all this stuff. But in the end, guess what? They're going to get repaid for the things that they've done. And God is the God of judgment, and He can do what He wants. Psalm chapter 9. Turn to Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, the Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Is that me saying this, or is that the Bible saying this? The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And guess what? Australia forgot God. Guess what? North Korea forgot God. Guess what? China forgot God. And you know what? This nation is beginning to forget God also. This nation that we live in has forgotten God as a whole. I'm not saying that there's not people that are not, you know, look, you're all in church today, so not everybody's forgotten God, but a lot of people have. Look at what it says in verse 18, "For the needy shall not always be forgotten, the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail, let the heathen be judged in thy sight, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." See, sometimes nations, they start thinking that they're God. And the people in the nations, there's people that actually say, "I'm God." Have you ever heard someone say that at the door? You knock on someone's door, "Hey, what does it take to be saved?" And then ultimately you get to the point where they go, "Well, I'm God." "Oh, God, can you make me something really quickly?" "Hey, God, can you give me a new Ferrari?" "I'm God." That's what this Eastern religion stuff promotes, that basically that they are God. And hey, when you make yourself a God in your own image, then basically anything can be God that you want it to be. But what's the real truth? We got a book. We have a book called the Bible that has all the answers in it. And it says who made the heaven and the earth. It says who God is. And guess what? It's not you. So, God, you know, in the psalm, it's David saying, "Hey, let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord." Hey, God, people should fear God. It says that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Hey, you better start looking at yourself a little lower than you are right now. Because these people that think that they're God, or think that their God is mightier than the true God of heaven and earth, they got another thing coming. There's going to be a recompense. God will judge those people. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and many other prophets preached specifically against nations. Specifically. I preach against the nation of Russia. I guess I got to do a new preach against the country here at some point. I guess Australia's kind of gotten a little bit of the heat today. But but in the Bible, you see prophets, they judge nations. God says, "Hey, go to that nation and preach against them." What did he tell Jeremiah? Jeremiah went on a trip just preaching and said, "Hey, preach this against them, preach this against them." And he had to go stand in front of these people and their leadership and just tell them that, "Hey, guess what? You're going to hell. God's going to overthrow you. You're all going to die." That's a pretty scary judgment. But why does God do stuff like that? Because He wants them to be afraid so that they'll fear the Lord and be saved. See, God wants, you know, He came to save the world, not to condemn the world. But, you know, sometimes people just don't want to be saved. And so they turn to their own way. Turn to Revelation chapter 18. I personally believe that we are living in Babylon, the Babylon of the end times. And I don't think any other country at this point fits the bill. If, you know, we go on for another 1,000 years, maybe it's going to transfer its power. But the Bible prophesied that Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, the Greek Empire, and the Roman Empire would come, and that there would be a nation that would come after it that would be like those other nations. And so there's a spirit that goes into these other nations. I think Egypt had that spirit. I think that the Assyrians had that spirit. And then, because in Zechariah, you can see where that spirit is transferred to Babylon. And so I believe that this country is Babylon. And there's a great film called Babylon USA. I suggest you watch it because it's basically everything's playing out that basically that movie teaches right now. So we're taking out, I don't know if anybody saw this, but somebody posted a video where it shows all the people who are at that guy's funeral, the guy that Trump took out just recently. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people. I mean, this helicopter's flying over all the people that are going to that guy's funeral. You think that they're not riled up? They're definitely riled up. But, you know, there's only a few countries that don't have the basically the one world currency. And that Iran's one of them. Afghanistan's another one. Iraq's another one. I don't know what the other ones are, but there's a few different ones. And why are we going to war against these Middle Eastern countries? Because they don't want to be part of our Babylon USA. And so what are we going to do? We're going to go take them out. And so, well, look what God does in Revelation 18:1. He's going to, one day he's going to judge this place that we live in. But you know, God's always allowed his prophets to operate within these systems too. You know, think about Egypt, Moses. You know, think about the Assyrian Empire. You know, Jonah. And other men of God that were allowed to operate, and people still thrived in those times. But Babylon, you know, Daniel, you think of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then, you know, so on and so forth. But God's always allowed his people to be able to operate in these wicked places. And so, you know, there's no place that's sent out more missionaries than the United States of America. But at the same time, there's no place on earth that's more wicked than the United States of America. So look at Revelation 18:1. It says, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Talking about how many demons are in this country right now. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants in the earth of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of their delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye might receive not of her plagues. So at this point, there's still going to be people that are saved that live here. But God's saying, get out while you can. And it says, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy, what? Judgment come. God is going to judge Babylon. This is a literal place. This is a literal city. I believe it's the United States of America, and I don't have time to preach a whole sermon about it right now, but there's no other country that, if you read Revelation 16, 17, 18, there's no doubt. There's no other country that matches, you know, all the things that are in here. And look, God's going to judge. He's going to utterly burn it with fire. And so I don't know how, if it's one city, if it's the whole country, or what it is. I'm hoping, like I said, Hawaii is saved from the 2,500 miles of water in between. Because the sailors have to be somewhere. You know, the sailors are going to look afar off and weep and wail. Well, that means it doesn't go into the ocean. Anyway, that's my biblical justification. But anyway, God is going to judge Babylon USA. He's going to judge the nations that hate him, the nations that forget him. And number 5, God allows his people to judge. God allows his people to judge. So, and it's in a limited capacity. Okay, obviously we can't judge and be in the place of God. But there's certain things that God allows us to judge in. Look at John 7:24. So this is to those people that don't understand God. They don't understand judgment. And these unbelievers that like to say to Christians, you're not supposed to judge. Guess what? You're not supposed to judge. Don't judge me. Judge. Look, I'll get to that in just a second. But look at what the Bible says, okay? Let's look at what God says. Let's look at what Jesus says, all right? John 7:24 says, judge not. See, this is where all unbelievers stop reading right here. Judge not! Well, what's it say? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So are Christians supposed to judge? Yes or no? Yeah, we're supposed to not judge according to the appearance. We're supposed to judge according to righteous judgment. What is righteous judgment? Well, the things that God says are righteous, those are the things that we can judge in. The things that God says are unrighteous, those are the things we can judge in. If he says, thou shalt not steal, and someone steals something, and a Christian says, hey, you're not supposed to steal. And they say, don't judge me. That doesn't make sense. How would we put murderers to death if we didn't judge people? You know, this state doesn't put murderers to death anymore because they don't understand proper judgment. They'll judge babies to death. They'll let babies be killed in the womb, but they won't punish a convicted multi-rapist, multiple mass murderer. But they'll judge babies in the womb and let them be killed. That's how twisted the judgment in the United States is right now. Where they'll let children die, 3,000 children a day will die in some operating table in some place in Babylon, USA. But then, you know, it takes an act of Congress to put Ted Bundy to death. And he gets stays and stays and stays. And they're like, oh, you know, he didn't have to get killed tonight. There's multiple people on death row in California, Washington, and Oregon, and other places around this country that deserve to have the death penalty pronounced upon them. And yet, you know, we're going to kill the children instead. It's wicked as hell. But we're not supposed to judge. Someone's a mass murderer. Hey, you're not supposed to judge. Just let them live. So that we can suck the tax dollars out of the American people. And have the prison industrial complex keep rolling along. You know, because they're worth a lot alive, aren't they?
Right.
Three hots in a cot, cable TV in their rooms, Xboxes, full workout room. They come out as super convicts if they ever come out. They're all muscle bound and tatted up. It's wicked. It's a wicked system. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. So what I'm talking about is God allowing his people to judge. All right? Jesus said to judge by righteous judgment. Did Jesus say to judge? Yes or no? Yes. Now look what it says in 1 Corinthians 6, 2. It says, Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Guess what? We get to judge the world someday. That's what it says, right? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? So talking about things in church, are we allowed to judge the smallest matters? God, what's he saying? He's saying, yeah, you should judge the smallest matters. Says, know you not that we shall judge angels? Someday we're going to judge angels. How much more things that pertain to this life? So he's talking about the kingdom that's going to be coming, we're going to be judging. But he said, what about the things in this life? If we're going to judge the world in the next life to come, how much more the things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. It's taught, you know, and in the context, it's talking about kicking this person out of church. So we should be able to, so the whole judge not mentality, if there's someone in this church and we know that they're a hardcore alcoholic and they just drink themselves to sleep every single night, and we know that they're a drunkard, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that that we're supposed to kick people out like that in chapter 5. We're supposed to kick people out that are fornicating, openly fornicating. We're supposed to kick people out that are railers. We're supposed to kick people out, you know, for various different things. God's saying, hey, if you can judge the things in the life to come, if you can judge the things in the afterlife, in the kingdom of heaven, you should be able to judge the things that pertain to this life also. Hey, and if you can't do it, find the least esteemed person in the church and let them do it. If you're so righteous, you're so holy, you're so puffed up in your vain mind that you can't judge, then let somebody else judge that, you know, has a backbone. Just let the least esteemed in the church. Little Eli, come up here, judge this person, kick him out. He's like, yeah, I will. But he probably would too. But not that he's the least esteemed, he's just young. So that's what I meant by that. But anyway, we should be able to judge things in the church. Can we judge to kick somebody out of this church? Yes or no? Yes. Can we judge righteous judgment on somebody? Yes. 1 Peter 4:17. I'll have you turn to Matthew chapter 7. I got to hurry. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." Where are we at right now? The house of God. This is the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. And it says the judgment must begin at the house of God. Not end. Begin. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So we're supposed to begin judgment here in the house of God. All right. And I'm not saying that we're going to judge murderers to be put to death or things like that. Look, we have a justice system that's supposed to work. And so when God comes back, when Jesus comes back and gives us glorified bodies and we rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, things are going to be right again. Things are going to be normal again. We're not going to see drag queen story hour in every single city in this state or in this country or in this world. It's not going to be anymore. Praise God for that. Or what's that freak's name that was on the magazine cover? Bruce Degenerate, yeah. Bruce Jenner, that molested every single person's eyeballs that ever had to walk into a Walmart that week. It makes it seem normal to people. It's not normal. You know why they're trying to reach the kids with Drag Queen Story Hour? It's so that our kids think it's normal. It's not normal. Anybody that looks at one of those freaks and thinks that's normal, you got to go have your head examined. Go check into a hospital somewhere. Of course, they'd probably say that you were normal because the system that we live in is so weird. But anyway, you're in Matthew chapter 7. Here's where the unbelievers pull their doctrine from that they beat us up with, right? Judge not that ye be not judged. Judge not. And that is seriously a parrot repeating itself to every single unbeliever, to every single person that hates God. And immediately when a Christian gives their opinion on what's right and what's wrong, what do people say immediately? Judge not. What do people say to me every single week when I get my little comment section from my Billy Graham sermon? Judge not. Who are you to judge? I'll tell you who I am. I'm a man of God. I'm a pastor. And I'm a saved person that I can take the Bible and I can say, hey, this is a righteous judgment. Billy Graham was not saved. And you know why he wasn't saved? Because he said, all roads lead to heaven. Do they all lead to heaven? No. Then he's a false prophet. He's a wicked person. And yeah, he can preach and make it seem like it sounds okay. But in reality, excuse me, he was a lying devil. And he is roasted in hell with Steve Irwin. And they're not hanging out together. Because it was contrary to popular belief, you don't get to hang out with your buddies in hell. Okay? It's darkness, it's wailing, it's gnashing of teeth, it's the judgment of God. He's not going to let you have some kind of, you know, jam session with your buddies from the Rolling Stones when they die and go to hell. So look at what it says. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. So what's Jesus saying? He's saying, hey, if you're judging people that you're doing the same thing, then you're wrong. and you're going to get judged for whatever you think that they should be judged for. It says, "Why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" And that'd be like me getting up and saying, "Hey, you guys should tithe. If you're not tithing, you're wicked. You're wrong. You're stealing from God." And then I'm not tithing. That's judging with unrighteous judgment. That's me being a hypocrite and saying, "Hey, you guys should tithe, but I'm not tithing." Isn't that true? That's what it's talking about. It's saying if you're going to try to pull the mote, a mote is like a little sliver out of someone's eye, and you got a giant beam hanging out of your eye. It's like, "You know, brother, I've been meaning to tell you that you should be tithing." Come on. That's what it's talking about. It's not saying don't judge at all. It's saying don't judge unrighteous judgment. Look, it says, or wilt thou say to thy brother, "Let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eyes. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." So is it wrong to pull the mote out of someone else's eye? Yeah, it is, as long as you don't have a beam sticking out of your own eye. Hey, get the sin out of your life in that area. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't sit there and get on to people for things that you're doing yourself. That's what it's talking about. But see, people will stop at "judge not lest you be judged." And we need to understand that people are doing that on purpose to try to bully you, to try to stop you from speaking what the truth is. They're trying to stop you from proclaiming what God's word says. What did John the Baptist do to get himself into so much trouble? What did he do? Why did he get arrested? Why? Because he said, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." He stole his brother's wife. And John was preaching against him, and they had him arrested. She wanted to have him killed immediately. And ultimately, she got her way with her seductive daughter's little whorish dances. But why did John the Baptist get his head cut off? Because he was judging righteous judgment. And you know what? Any preacher worth the salt should be able to stand up and say something's wicked. And hey, it was against the ruler of his people. Wasn't it? He still preached it because he was wrong. So we can still preach on the sin as long as you're not condemning the office, right? So Romans 12:19 says, "Dearly beloved." See, and this is where we got to understand we can't judge a certain point. We can only judge to a certain point. It's not right for us to take the law in our own hands and say, "You know what, that person's a sodomite. Let's have some, you know, rock practice." That's not right for us to do, because we're out of our element at that point. And we'll get our chance later on. But look what the Bible says. This is what God tells us to do in situations where, you know, government's supposed to get involved, or God. Romans 12:19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" So look, if you don't try to be that person that's, you're not taking the law into your own hands, you're not avenging yourself, God says, "I will repay." You don't have to worry about it. And so you might get really mad and want to hurt somebody, or you might get really mad and think that they deserve to get beat up, or they deserve this or that. And you're right, they do. But God says we're supposed to let him repay. And you know what? God is going to make them get repaid, and we're going to get satisfied with the vengeance that God gives for us. Amen? So number six, I'm done here. I'm just going to show you one set of verses here. Turn to Revelation 20, verse 12. This is the last ones I'll have you turn to. God is able to judge people to hell. God is able to judge people to hell. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." See, we're not judged according to our works. Christians aren't judged according to their works to be saved. But I'll tell you what, someone that tries to work their way to heaven, they will be judged by their works, because they're trying to be righteous with their works to go to heaven, and they're going to be judged by the very things that they thought that was going to get them to heaven. It says they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death, And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And you know what? God is justified to do those things because God is the judge. God decides who goes to heaven or hell. You know, honestly though, people that are saved, they make their own choice. People that are unsaved make their own choice. God just tells you the consequences for making the wrong choice. Because there's a lot of things that you can make wrong choices on in life, but not all of them are going to get you sent to hell. But I'll tell you what, if you don't believe on Jesus Christ for your salvation, Him only, and nothing else of your own works, you know, you got to believe the right thing. If you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and you've trusted Him and asked Him to save you, you're going to go to heaven. That's the choice that you make. He doesn't force you to make that choice. But on the other hand, if you say, you know what, I think that me and Jesus do it together, and I'm going to do good works, and I think that the good outweighs the bad, and I think that my good works somehow have something to do with my salvation, then you're going to be judged according to your works. And God will be right to judge you that way because you didn't believe the truth. So in conclusion, just remember that we are allowed to judge what God has already judged as wicked. God does use natural disasters, plagues, famine, and animals to judge the earth. He uses fire. He uses water. God will judge His enemies and yours. He'll avenge you of the enemies that you have also. God judges nations and them that hate Him. We need to remember that everything He does is right. That includes every judgment He's ever made in the whole Bible. Don't get sucked into what the world tries to tell us that God is like when the Bible says something different. Challenge people. I'm not saying be mean, be hostile, or anything like that. Every once in a while, you know, you get the gay theist or fagnostic that just is a God hater, a clear God hater. Sometimes you got to tell people the way it is.
Amen.
But don't get sucked in and let the world make you apologize for everything you've ever said. They don't know God. We know God. They don't know the Bible. We know the Bible. Don't let someone that doesn't know the Bible and doesn't know God tell you what God's like. I'll just read this the verse I read at the beginning. He is the rock. His work is perfect and all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for Your judgments, Lord. We pray, Lord, that You'd help us to be good Christians, Lord, and help us to not receive the wrath that we would deserve from You, Lord. Not wrath, but, Lord, punishment. Pray You'd help us to be a people that tries to get sin out of their life, Lord. Help us to rightly judge things. Help us to not judge things as hypocrites, Lord, and help us to remember that You're the one that avenges us against our enemies, and that we shouldn't try to take matters into our own hands, Lord. We thank You for everybody that's here. Pray for everybody that's sick. Pray that You lift them up, help them to get better and come back to church next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.